All right, so it is Monday morning, and my topic for today is about being on the underdog position. Why I love that aspect, that perspective. Also why you don't have to continue to stay there, but it's a good position to be in to some degree if you can self-educate yourself enough in your passions and the things that you're interested in order to be able to put yourself in a situation where that underdog position works well with you in connection with humility and how you handle your business. Being an underdog is not a desired position for a lot of people who went out of their way to make sure that they were put in a position where they would never have to feel any type of way. For some people, though, I'm catering right now to some people who do not have that as a luxury. You know what I'm saying? In which case, this particular aspect won't be for you. You know, but because you already feel, you already have learned that leverage, that confidence, that leverage, and systematically how to do. But for some people, especially some young people, they don't have that yet. They may be missing that. And I've noticed in a lot of communities and a lot of inner city communities, especially because of whatever the environment is, broken homes, very sensitive to those things as possibilities because our environments mold us. It molds our habits and it molds our dealings, and we have to be attentive to what is happening to us. You know, and even in Adele Hill, once you pay attention to it, you don't always know if you're going to be successful in navigating yourself out of some of the habits that you've been trained because of your environment. But anyway, the underdog position is good for this reason. When people have a way of kind of viewing you and treating you as if it's a possibility you may not amount to a lot, or even in childhood, sometimes people can have a way of making a certain child feel like we're not really expecting a lot out of this one. You know, they're not really showing us any cues that they're going to be successful. This is a particular aspect of what can happen to a person in how they may feel about their success and how it may train their mindset and how they may decide to attack goals. Now, for some people, they're not content to stay on the bottom of anything. You know, I'm definitely one of those personalities. I'll never vocalize or voice how people assume that I'm going to turn out, how it's making me feel. I'm never one of those kind of people, but I attack goals according to my own abilities, very strategically, wholeheartedly, and 100% through a very assertive stance. Not aggressive, but through a very assertive stance. Because it's going to make me feel good if I accomplish the goals that I set out to accomplish, in which case I don't want to shortchange myself on the effort that I'm about to put in. So on any goals, I hit the gas. And I've had that mindset that naturally comes to me since I was a child. I used a few of how people, I've always been a kid that used a few of how people viewed me as it was fuel. I'd light that thing all the way up. And especially being a girl, you know, I think that there's a lot of, especially growing up in the 90s, there was a lot of misinformation depending on how you were educated about what, how you should be, how you should conduct yourself, and this and that. Fortunately, I did have good parenting, but because I'm so focused and passion driven in connection with some of my goals, I still didn't have that aspect that made it where people expected a lot out of me, because I was always paying attention to what I was doing. I was always paying attention to my work. I was always paying attention to my art. I was always developing that. That was my focus for the reason that I'm speaking about, because I was the underdog. So this is part one. also, in connection with that, this is how I view it. Now, keep in mind, this is my perspective as one growing up where, although my mother parented very well, my surroundings, the people that was looking at my learning style, the way the educational school system was in Detroit during that time in Decatur, wholeheartedly, truly, two creative thinkers the way that I personally would have liked. So in my position, I kind of felt like school was a failure for me, although some people who were equally as creative as I was, they were able to excel in school. I didn't have that advantage. So I was an underdog academically. I was what some people would call a bad student. You know what I'm saying? People didn't have a lot of expectations for me because my mind is I'm a creative thinker wholeheartedly, 100%. My perspective is from a creative aspect is so much more broader than, you know what I'm saying, general studies that schools can offer. So with that being said, it gave me kind of a lot of room. Now, just picture it my way. Okay, so now I'm explaining to you how it made me feel after a while. Once I realized, I figured out real young, people really don't think I'm about to make anything of myself. Now, did it hurt my feelings? Yes. One reason was because I was a girl, naturally very emotional. When you're growing up, you're very emotional. And to think that people won't actually think you turn out right will hurt your feelings. Number two, I wasn't a bad person. And I was a student that teachers liked. I was also a student that some parents liked. No one could really just figure out why I wasn't doing well at school. They are only just now doing studies and have schools for creative thinkers. In the 80s and 90s in Detroit, that just wasn't even an accommodation like that. So it was a lot of us missing the mark. From that perspective, I have learned that I'm comfortable with letting people think whatever because it makes me try so hard to do certain things in a way that no one ever seen them done before. It also makes me want to be so much of a better person because it would be something that people wasn't expecting. Because by nature, I'm a very kind and generous person, you know, and I'm, you know, that's my nature. Even though my environment didn't really make a lot of allowances for it, you know, Detroiters kind of want you to be more tough than that, you know. So this is just my perspective. So I developed my skills from the perspective of I got all this room now to toy with everything that people would never think I would be able to do. You know what I'm saying? I have all this room now to self-educate myself, to figure out how I can be good at everything. If I want to be good at something, I now can research enough, study enough, and drive and push myself enough independently to figure out how to be who I want to be successfully. And I can do it without pressing buttons on people, without making people feel bad about the way they treated me. And then when I hit these goals, you know what I'm saying? Like when I hit some of these goals, like I was drawing and making such an impact in certain aspects of my art, you know, that it was really affecting some people on a larger scale where they would say, well, you know what, we're considering this student. They knew I wasn't good academically, you know, as far as the grades, but they were like, we're considering this student to enter for this particular art award, national art award. I wasn't even thinking about it that way then, but I think about it now, and I think it's pretty privileged. I won a Coca-Cola award during 1999. I also received an award from the U.S. House of Representatives. It's apparently a national art award that they give to people, to young people who are emerging artists, and they want them to be more or less recognized coming from their city as a standout creative. This was all my natural ability. But keep in mind, my passion, it was coming from a place of me knowing that I was the underdog. And I aggressively used my art as the vehicle. I got into my art seat and I used it as the vehicle to drive myself out of the suspicion that I wouldn't amount to a hill of beans. So keep in mind, that's me playing from the underdog. I hope this helped y'all. Take care. Have a good morning. Stay motivated. Stay productive.
Okay, so it is Tuesday. What is it? November 2020. It's not the new year yet, but we are approaching it. And every year, I go back, I listen to my old episodes on the podcast, and I try to see what I learned from the previous year to be able to share with you all again. So, I would encourage you to go back into my podcast, listen to a few of my previous episodes to see if any of the valuable information that was placed those years prior proved to be of any benefit to you at all. At all. Now, the reason why I think that this is important is because when people feel pressure to apply information that's already been given years before, it can affect their results. Okay? Which is why I've always been a fan of receiving information ahead of time and giving information ahead of time. That's my entire process for how I do absolutely everything. I like to know, period. And then I like to share what I know, period. Okay, so I've always been like that. Now, so it's 2020. A lot has happened to us. As you and I all well know, a lot has happened to us. A lot of good, and for some of us, a lot of bad. We're not going to talk about the bad. We're going to talk about what can we do to learn from what we know now. Right? So, goes back to basic principles. What do you know about yourself now that you didn't know before? In a matter of interest, I discussed these points earlier a long time ago because I felt like it was necessary to do it, because there still seems to be miscommunications and areas where people are not fully aware of who they are as an individual. The circumstances that we are in 2020 with the pandemic are fortunate and unfortunate circumstances. They're unfortunate because without proper preparation, people absolutely do not know what to do with themselves. Sure, you would agree. They're fortunate because it allows you some time now to really get to know yourself. To really get to know yourself. It's a matter of now. Everybody been told to sit down. Sometime. Everybody been told to take it easy for a while now. And that time has been set aside for what was already previously discussed. If you go back into my podcast 2 years ago, you'd be able to see and understand that this information had already been given to you all by a number of different sources from all over the world. People who had similar observations, people who had similar understandings of certain pressures of what could and could not happen in certain communities, this and that. When pieces of the puzzle begin to be moved around, pieces of the puzzle on a board begin to be moved around, not everything fits in right away. Understand that as a principle of a puzzle. Pieces of a puzzle begin to be moved around, or if it has to be readjusted, or if it has to be placed in another particular situation or in another particular setting, it's not always easy to do. Depending on whose hands the puzzles falls into. It may already be put together, but if that puzzle has to be moved, or if that puzzle has to be placed in another circumstance or in another situation, depending on who picks up those pieces, they were not the originator of that concept. If they were not the ones who originally saw or did the work to put that information down, they cannot understand how to tell you how to put those pieces back. That, in a simple analogy, is going to help you understand what this time we have now still is available to be able to do. It sucks for everybody. Welcome to the club. Boom. Okay. Now, what have I been up to? I'm going to tell y'all what I've been up to. I've been doing the same thing since I was 5 years old. People ask me all the time. What you been up to? I don't know what to tell them, but the interests that I've always had are the interests that I've always had. They've just grown with me. I'm just an adult now, you know? Grown. You know, we grown now. So, the interests and the observations and the understandings and the research and the investments and the mishaps and everything that goes along with that are still in place. I'm still me. I'm still me 100%. And under these circumstances, under circumstances that everyone is under, still me. I still like the same stuff. Still do the same stuff. I'm still going to the gym. I still eat what I want when I want, how often I want. Sometimes I want to eat a lot. Sometimes I don't. I like working out. I actually have not ran into a situation where I don't like working out. I do actually still, after 5 years plus, enjoy my workouts. I think that that's healthy. Let me state that again, because I think that I've been hearing some people who are now, you know, you got people where they're being kind of spotlight being put on them, or they're being put in very unfair circumstances where they got to answer a load of questions, and, you know, they kind of have to answer for people who don't understand how to give an answer themselves. And that's what makes it unfair. But what I said to you was, I still enjoy my workouts. Okay? I do. When I have my money and I want to get something to eat, I go and I get exactly what I got a taste for. Sometimes I add something extra. Sometimes I don't. I do, and I eat what I want to eat when I got a taste for it. Period. And I enjoy my workouts. So if you run into me into the store and I walk past you, or whatever, you see me grab two things, 50-50 spring mix salad, don't be mad at me because I only walked out of there with that, a croissant and a donut. I'm gonna eat them salads that day. Them donuts gonna be gone that morning, okay? Sandwiches, coffee, whatever I go in and I go and eat and get and I spend my money for, it's gonna be eaten that day. I eat that, okay? That's not a mantra for me. That's not coming from a religious place for me. That comes from what I got a taste for when I'm hungry. And when I got the money, I do what I want to do with my money. When I got the money, I do what I want to do with my money, with what I want to eat. Because you don't always get to do that. So understand that. Now, people be trying to make you feel bad about where you going to go sit down and eat at. Well, I can't eat everything. Like how y'all can't eat everything. You know? Which is why I do spend a lot of my real money on salads. Because I can eat that. Because I had, and I didn't touch on this, but when I was younger, I had a surgery on my stomach. So I have to plan when I'm going to treat myself to heavier food items. And you see me, I run into a place, I'm grabbing just salads. Or you see me, I run into a place, I'm grabbing the juice. Or I'm grabbing this, or I'm grabbing protein bars, or I'm just doing that. Or I'm just eating oatmeal. That's because I'm eating things, or I'm trying to eat things that are going to be able to absorb into my body well enough. okay? And so that's just something that I found that works for me. Where did I learn that? Well, I'm a lot older than what y'all think. So let me just say that. And I learned this from over the years. Way before I figured out how to even lose 1 pound, I learned this from asking people questions who were more fit than me, because they had answers that I wanted to know for when I wanted to get myself in a position or when I wanted to be ready to try to lose some weight. Losing weight, like I discussed in the previous years, was something I always wanted to do. I could never figure out how to do it, but I always wanted to do it. So since I couldn't figure out how to do it, like I discussed in the years prior, I had to take time to understand myself, my process. And I could only do that by listening to other people. Okay, and I'm not selfish in that regard. I have an understanding that successful people know and they understand something that I don't know. We have to accept that that happens. That can happen. So if there's something that I want to know how to do, if it's something that I want to be good at, I take myself and I go and I sit and I read or I listen to those people. That's what I do. I listen to them, I read articles, and I only seek out genuine people. I do not seek out extreme people to give me advice. Now, when you see some of these people in person, they may appear to be extreme to you, because when you see some people who are successful at whatever it is they're doing, when they show up, they're explosive in their passions. So you're misreading their energy. You don't understand why they're like that, but they're like that because that's how they got to be who they are. So you don't want to judge that. What you want to do, if it's someone that knows something that you don't know and you would like to know what they know, because you want to listen if they have the information available, or you want to read if they have the information available, their articles, not when they're in the middle of doing what it is that has made them successful. You catching them when they in a most passionate place and you judging them. Well, here they are, they're here right now. Look at them. When we saw them, they look like they was crazy. They was working. That's how they got to be who they are. That's going to look crazy for your most successful people. The behavior that some people have developed, or the things that some people have developed to be who they are, look strange. Because they're in their moments. That's passion. That looks strange. But when you want to know something, you want to understand something, my recommendation is you don't catch them in those moments. You review the information, you read about the information that they've given and their most calmest understanding of who they are and their processes when they shared that information. Now, who did I listen to? I had a number of people I listened to. Yeah, I gotta be fair with that. So I'm gonna tell you who I listened to from the A. Wow. Way back in 2002, there was a guy I used to work with at the coffee shop. He knew my family, I knew his family. I'm not gonna say no names. Only tip he gave me was lower the carbs, eat more protein, and stay as busy as you were, because I was already hyperactive. I'm just hyped anyway. You know, I got a lot of energy. I like to do what I like to do. Well, when I was younger, more so. Now, I be chilling. So, don't judge me on that. Anyway. So, anywho, let me tell you something. He said that, and I understand that when he said that, but guess what? I didn't use what he told me until 7 years from that point. Now, understand that. Some people are going to say something to you that is not going to be beneficial to you in a time when you think that you're supposed to use it, but you're supposed to keep it. Write that down. And so I used this information, and it proves to be of a benefit for me at times when I want to slum up. So when I want to kind of shave off a little bit of the extra fluff, I eat more protein, and then I'll take a couple days and I'll back off excess carbs. Meaning, I know that there's a certain amount of carbs that I'm supposed to be eating, but technically, the way my body type is, I still won't necessarily look right if I even eat those recommended amount of carbs. So even the recommended amount of carbs that has been dialed up for me to eat, even I won't eat them. So I'm usually carb deficient anyway. When it comes to protein, I don't have a lot of proteins that I favor that I like to eat. I'm an egg eater. I'm a bean eater. I grab a protein bar. I grab a protein shake. You know. Sometimes I'll eat chicken. Sometimes I'll have a burger. But when it gets into the meats, those are not always as easy to digest for me, based on what I said earlier in this. I gotta eat easy to digest foods. It's just the way it is. So, I could probably have a burger sometime. I could probably have some meat sometime. Probably have some chicken sometime. I could be eating tuna. But I'm not like a... I'm not somewhere hoarding cattle, okay? Ain't no cattle in my house. And I'm not somewhere with all these... I'm not someone where all these meats for me to eat. I can't break them down like that. That's just me. So I gotta put that out there. So, you know, don't judge me on that. You don't see me and I'm always sitting next to some drumsticks or something like that. Or I can't eat them. I'd love to smell delicious all the time. All that meat when people cook it, it'd be smelling delicious all the time. I can't get with it. It'll be sitting in my stomach forever. You know, I had to wait. So that's just how my stomach is. Because I know myself. I know my body. I know what I can and I cannot do. And I'll eat it when I can. Because it's good and it's delicious. Every time I had some good cooked up, it's always good. But I have the time when I can do that. Right? So be reasonable. You know? And stop judging people about what they can and cannot do when they can and cannot do it. Okay, people. Let's work on that this year. Let's work on that this year. Because I seen like a lot of people that I used to look at. And now when I go back and I look at their videos, they done been made to be frustrated. They scared to share information. I'm like, hold up. The information they shared 5 years ago helped me lose that first 60 pounds. So I know ain't nothing wrong with the information they gave. And it was basic and it was from the heart. And that was why it was useful. That was why it worked. So when people give information from the heart and your heart is receptive, that's the only way it's going to work. Because it's on the same channel. It's on the same plane. They give it from the heart and your heart is receptive. So it's on the same plane. That's the only way it's going to work. If your heart is not aligned with their heart when they give an information, you're going to miss it. And that's what happens. That's how information is shared. So, that's my tip for today. That's 2020. That's the basics. That's the basics. Now, that's only on health. I'll get with y'all what I've been up to and what I've been doing on the creative side and a couple other episodes further down the line. But we're going to start with that. And also, let me just say this. Health and fitness, in my perception, and I'm not an expert, I'm saying this as an observation, should be separated from your faith. She could be kept separate from other aspects. If you can't find a way, not saying that you should separate them, meaning you should disconnect them, but if you can't find a way to help your mind to be able to process that being healthy is going to help you be healthy to be used wherever it is you intend to use your energy and wherever it is you intend to take yourself. If you cannot understand that, then don't get into health and fitness. Because number of experts will tell you from 50 and 60 years ago that even if people are applying pressure to you to start eating right, start working out, doing this and doing that, it's your mindset and your mental state is going to challenge everything that you do physically and what you eat physically. What is on your mind, your mental state, is going to challenge all the physical work that you do. So my recommendation is, don't blow your money on trying to get all these supplements. Don't blow your money on trying to grab all this stuff that you heard was going to work and you've never attacked weight loss before. Because this is not 3 to 6 months I lost so and so pounds. Your most successful people, they done kept this work. They done kept their weight off for years. I always wanted to lose weight. Understand what I'm saying? I never wanted to be skinny. I always wanted to lose weight because I always knew I needed to lose weight. Because I always looked at the people where I come from and know that it was possible. So I paid attention to the people where I come from and I knew that it was possible for me to lose weight, but I didn't know how. That took me years. And so that's the tip. You're not going to be able to do nothing you really want to be able to do and sustain it for a decade. If you're ready to do it, just know that you can start now. You ain't got to put it off. But if you know you got emotional issues, you got mental issues, those things are going to fight you in a war against yourself and health and fitness. That's all I got for y'all today, for real. Okay, I'm gone. Bye. Good afternoon. So it's November 2020. And wanted to come back on here. And today, give some very vital information for the coming weeks. Because people is going to really need to know the difference in understanding what to do during their state's lockdown during COVID-19. Okay. First of all, let me just say this. All of the information that I have available about what to do and symptoms of COVID-19 and how you should approach that is relatively, I think, kind of what it's always been. When I do my research on pandemics, because I've done research on pandemics, the effects of it, I've observed it over a long period of time, a couple decades or more, just even in my, it was just something I was always observing. You know, I always read about pandemics. I just always did. And the effects of it on the economy, the effects of it on people who don't understand what to do. Anyway, let me make it really simple. Okay, first of all, let me just say, there's a history of illnesses in the world that can affect a large amount of people in certain communities without proper information. And it can affect those communities adversely without the proper information. So let me just clarify. Here's some very important tips. Number one, begin to do personal research within your family. Okay? Ask a lot of questions. Ask questions, but do your own research from reputable sites. Okay, one site that I've always kind of, if they give me a little fact list of information, I've always trusted over at least at minimum 10 years is Mayo Clinic. And I'm a Merck Manual reader. I've read that book for years. I even have a copy of it, right? And I've had versions of that book over the course of a couple decades. It is something that I don't always reference it. Sometimes I would keep the mobile app to research illnesses, vitamin deficiencies, food, nutrition, things like that. I'm just kind of nerdy like that, so I read stuff. In any case, do enough research where you know the difference between, one, allergies. You want to learn the difference of what allergies are. Okay. Two, learn what sinus issues are. Learn the difference between allergies and sinus infections. Learn the difference of flu. And learn and compare the difference between flu and pneumonia. Once you understand at minimum those four common issues that affect humans for a long time, allergies, sinus, the cold, the flu, and pneumonia, and you know that well enough, you know the symptoms separately of all those things well enough, then you'll be able to, over the course of time, to be able to understand more about how to prepare and how to take precautions for COVID-19, because the information is not available yet, like with Spanish flu, like with Ebola, like with other pandemics or epidemics that took place in other places. You had some places where they had a microorganism entered into some people for a time, and it affected their children. There's communities where all the children who were affected, if their parents were affected during that, the mothers were affected during that pregnancy with that microorganism, it affected the children, the way the children, they were born with the actual similar illness where they all look the same. And these things can happen. That's one aspect. You had the Spanish flu that swept through. In history, you have typhus. Everyone pretty much knows about typhus. In history, you have other illnesses that have taken hold of people where people didn't know what it was. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know what to do. Learn the differences of ailments and illnesses in a human body on a small basis first. And educate your families. Educate your families on that. And eat according to a principle that's in place, an immune boosting principle that's in place. Now, during a pandemic, what you don't want to be afraid of is being afraid to boost your immune system. Because now you're in a situation where during a pandemic, that's what the majority of the regulatory industries and rules are asking you to do. Now, there's methods that people are going about that are not always what people would like to have come in contact with. So you have some people where their methods for trying to urge people to say, hey, this is serious. And their methods, they don't know how to convey that level of seriousness per group. So in order to not heighten anxiety, in order to not be overwhelmed unnecessarily, begin to do your research and eat as if, even if you don't have an allergy, even if you don't have the flu, even if you don't have pneumonia, eat like you need to boost your immune system every day during a pandemic. So if there is no other information, because no one else knows what to do, and all of us don't know what to do, really, because there's no diagnosis for it yet. So if that's the case, then you want to be mindful. And that's the wisest thing that people can do. And that's what you see people really pretty much doing. You know, and nobody is really pushing and shoving too much or if they are, you have to have balance. Because if you know these things, if you go back and you do your research on the smaller things, and then you understand those things, then you don't have to do all this pushing and shoving of what we should be doing right now, and overexerting power unnecessarily where it should not be exerted, where people are already anxious. Because what's going to happen is that when people are anxious, they're more likely to fail. They're more likely to fail because their anxiety has been heightened. They're more likely to become afraid. They're more likely to nitpick each other. They're more likely to misdiagnose. They're more likely to misinform. It's just the likeliness, you know. So when the adults in the family do personal research, go to reputable sites that have existed for years. Sites that have existed for years. Or information sources. Not just websites. Forget websites. If you got people, they don't want to use the internet. They're like, forget this. Fine. Don't do it. If you don't want to. But the information is available there. The information is available there. You just got to know where to go when you're going to be reading information, real information, legitimate information, and not misinformation. You got to know the information well enough to know when you're being misinformed, when you're being misled, when you're being misguided from where you really need to be. So that's why I said, read the basics of these particular illnesses. Read the basics of these particular ailments that have always been in existence and affected humans over a period of time. Allergies, sinusitis, rhinitis, all of that. Flu, cold, flu, pneumonia. Before you become overly anxious about COVID-19, if you eat like you don't want to get the flu, if you eat like you don't want to catch pneumonia, or if you treat yourself like you don't want to catch the flu, or if you treat yourself like, I can't afford to get the flu, I can't afford to get pneumonia. If you treat yourself like that during the pandemic every day, and if you have been fortunate to have been able to be conscious towards that for a couple of years, see, that's the only advantage that some people who are not even worried about it have. That's literally the only advantage that they have, is they were mindful for years. So their immunity is built up. because they took the time to do it over the course of time. Not rushing, but they took the time to do it over the course of time. So, that's what I have for this particular segment. I think that'll help some people. I mean, that's kind of relative. I mean, that's kind of basic. You know, just be mindful. Be mindful. You know, and think about that. You know, but you know, you got people where they run around, they double check. Did they wipe this down? Did they check? You know, you got people where they actually. Some people do not understand this, so that you'll know. Some people do know how to behave in times of distress. And some people don't know how to behave in times of distress. And that's okay. But the information, if you want to know how to, is available out there by multiple people from multiple different perspectives. So do your research as individuals. Don't be clingy to, oh, well, one person said, no, I'm going to just only do that. If you only, you got to glean from multiple reputable sources to know what's going to work for you as an individual and what's going to work for you and your household. Facts. So at this point, people got to be conscious of facts. Get to know what the facts are. Don't behave negatively like the tendency for what other people can do. Try not to. Sometimes that's easy to do. Sometimes it's not. And we've all been there. But it's possible to do. So because it's possible to do, you want to try to do that. That's going to affect, hopefully, if people can't do that, that's going to affect the areas you live in positively. You always think group effort. But it starts with the individual. Start with individual basis. You know? So individuals, share the information with your family. Once your family know what to do, you know, all the people leave out from the family, out from the household, they know what to do. They know how to conduct themselves. They go out into the community. They handle their business. It's per individual. It spills over into the household. Household hopefully leaves out from within their household into the communities, acting upon what they learn. That affects the economy. Your economy is able to do well. Your community, your city, the counties that you live in is able to do well. Hopefully according to those methods of understanding there. All links in the chain. You know, and this is, and I've gleaned this information over the course of observing it, listening to reputable sources for over a couple of decades. It's the best you could do. It's the best people could do. So that's what I have on that. But I just read that. And like I said, I'm kind of like that. I'm spontaneous like that. I want to know stuff. And as soon as I want to know stuff, then I just share it. And that's literally what's happening to y'all. You know, that's literally what's happening with this podcast. That's how this podcast took place. I read stuff. I want to know stuff. And then I compare it. And then I, you know, able to share that. You know what I'm saying? And then I go back and I, and that's what I'll do. You know, I'll get bored probably. and I'll find some, and I'll, you know, want to know something else from someone else who's reputable. And I study and I research and I'll go back and I'll figure out some other stuff. And then I'll come back and then I'll share more information with you all on that. Because a lot of people do know, you know, a lot of people do have some indication, you know, so don't rule out all of the information that's being shared with you, but don't be overwhelmed by all of the information that's being shared with you. Go to the reputable sources if you're stressed. You know, I don't glean from every single source that tries to tell me something, but I glean from reputable sources. Okay, that's all I got.